You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool Radio Program. I'm your host, James Edwards, coming to you live tonight, as we do every Saturday evening, from our flagship radio station, AM 1600 WMQM in Memphis, Tennessee. Also going out to the AM FM affiliates of the Liberty News Radio Network, simulcasting online to a global audience at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Are y'all exhausted yet? I mean, it's been a busy night of radio here, and we still have an hour to go. And, you know, we were talking about some of the national news stories that we've either had a part in or some of our close associates have played a role in. And as I say, the top 10 moments of 2016 may very well be filled in the month of January if we don't slow down. But I think it's clear that the biggest news story in this young year has not been the Donald Trump robocalls. It has not been the takeover of the wildlife refuge in Oregon or anything else that we've been talking about. The biggest news story, for my money, in 2016 has been the announcement of the upcoming American Renaissance Conference, and that's coming up in May the 20th through the 22nd. And wouldn't you know it, we have Jared Taylor himself, the editor of American Renaissance and author of several books, including his most recent, White Identity, Racial Consciousness in the 21st Century. He's on the line with us now. Jared, thanks for being with us.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, a real pleasure.
Indeed, for us as well. And we did actually plug some of the facts, some of the basics about the AMRIN conference in the last segment of the second hour, but tell us about it in your words. Big conference coming up.
Yes, as you announced earlier, it will be from May 20th to May 22nd at the beautiful Montgomery Bell State Park, right in your backyard. It'll be an easy hop for you to get to.
Right in my backyard, and you're home away from home these last 4 or 5 years.
That's right. That's right. We've been there. This will be, I believe, our fourth conference in a row at Montgomery Bell. It is a beautiful, beautiful setting, and I'm sure in May it will be just as gorgeous as can be. And one of the great things about Montgomery Bell is that we have absolutely no concerns at all about being welcome, about the fact that the staff loves us. In fact, practically every time we go, there's at least one staffer that says, "You're our favorite group. We hope you keep coming back." And that is a tribute, of course, to the people who attend American Renaissance conferences. And I must say, although we do try to come up with a top-flight lineup of speakers, inspirational folks who are leaders in our movement for our race and for our people, it's the people who come to the conference that make it a conference. There's really nothing like being in a room full of 250 people, all of whom get it. And, of course, this year, one of our great attractions is none other than the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Yeah, as I told you, Jared, you're really scraping the bottom of the barrel with that guy. all kidding aside, you know, I love coming to AMRIN. And, of course, I won't let the cat out of the bag with regards to what I'll be speaking about, but you and I had a great email exchange about that. I'm really excited to be presenting this topic. And as you mentioned, there is such a disconnect between how the general public views not only our message, but our people, contrasted with that of how we're presented in the press. It is no surprise to me, having been privileged enough to lead an organization in my own right and to have these conferences and to meet these people, that you would be and our people would be, the AMRIN conferees would be so well treated and welcomed by the staff at this state facility. It doesn't surprise me in the least. And it's just so exciting to be under the same roof. You used the term with so many people who get it. That's certainly right. But just so many healthy and like-minded individuals. It is a time of brotherhood, a time of fellowship. And these conferences are becoming now more frequent, but there's still not enough of them. And AMRIN has, for a long time, been the premier of the lot. And so not many more weeks until May. It'll be here before you know it. And all the information, of course, Jared, is at Amrin.com tonight. It's sold out the last couple of years. You know it's going to sell out again. Is there what adjectives would you use to light the fire under these folks' backsides to go ahead and take care of their accommodations and registrations ASAP?
Well, the fact is, the inn, which is a lovely place at the park, can accommodate only about 200 people, and the overflow has to go to nearby motels. And the motels are handy, but it's still not like being under the same roof for a full weekend with everybody who agrees with you. And we have taken over the whole inn, all 200 rooms in it. And so it's as though we have our own little Orania, our own little all-white enclave in the heart of Dixie. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And we are giving out the rooms first come, first serve. And those who sign up, I'd say for probably the next month, maybe or slightly more, are pretty much guaranteed to get a place at the Montgomery Bell Inn. But other than that, they're going to have to end up at a nearby motel. And they're not expensive, and they're not too far away, but it's just not quite the same experience. And, I was thinking about our lineup of speakers. Peter Brimelow, whom all of your listeners know, is actually a Brit by way of Canada. We're going to have Philip De Winter, who's with the Vlaams Belang. He is, although he would prefer not to be, he's Belgian. He would prefer to be an independent Fleming in an independent. From South Africa. It's really part of what I like to call our worldwide brotherhood of Europeans. It's a great gathering of people who are all committed to our people, our heritage, our culture, our race, and I'm delighted that we're going to have such an interesting lineup of folks from all walks of the European white life, all right there in the heart of Dixie in Tennessee.
We love being in the heart of Dixie, and certainly Tennessee and Mississippi. You know, my parents were first-generation Tennesseans. Going back beyond that, it's all Mississippi. But I love having Amrin in Tennessee. You know, there's a great article about that, how Tennessee has become a tourist destination for our movement with an event we had here a couple of years ago, and, of course, Amrin being a perennial. But this thing here, folks, I've been bragging to Jared about the responsiveness of the political cesspool audience, how I always get emails from people who go to the Amrin conference, and how we will be able to turn out people who have either never been to Amrin before or certainly bolster the attendance that Jared is used to. So don't make me look bad, folks. I know you're not going to do that. But the thing is, you know, Jared, you have been selling this thing out, not just the rooms at the facility which you sell out, the sleeping rooms. What is the total maximum occupancy of the ballroom itself in terms of people, whether they stay at the Montgomery Bell Inn or not? How many people can that room fit? We'll let that be the question before we go to break.
I've never actually worked it out. Every year we have to sort of rearrange the chairs to fit in the increasing numbers. I think we could fit in 400 if we had to. And I'd love
to fit in
against that. Yes.
Let's get the fire marshal out there this year, folks. Let's hear from the fire marshal out there. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with Jared.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
It's always great to have Jared on. You know, we've had been having Jared on this show, been hosting him on this program for over 10 years now. And it's just been a tremendous, it's hard to believe it's been that long. Where do the years go? But I'm a better man just for having known Jared Taylor, much less being able to consider myself to be a friend of Jared Taylor. And I'll tell you, you come to the Ameren Conference, folks, and you're not going to regret it. I should say this, though, with regard to accommodations. Now, you know that the lodge there at the beautiful Montgomery Bell State Park will sell out. So you need to book that room right away. But first, you need to register for the conference itself. Now, registration is only $100. And you can do that tonight at Ameren.com. But in addition to that, the rooms are available exclusively through American Renaissance. So if you're coming to this conference, you can book your room and pay your registration fee at Ameren.com. Ameren.com is your one-stop shop to get hooked up at this conference. That's A-M-R-E-N, Ameren.com. Am I right about that, Jared?
That's absolutely right. And the reason that you book your room through us is that we have just gotten them all ahead of time. That's the only way we could work it out, is that we have got a reservation in every single one of the rooms, and that's why you go through us for both your registration and your room and your banquet, if that's what you wish to take part in Saturday night. So, yes, it's one-stop shopping. It's all there at Ameren.com.
And, of course, folks, if that's too hard for you to type in, we've put a promo piece on our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, about the conference. You can check it out there and link right over there. But Ameren.com, that shouldn't be too difficult. Go there and get your room before they sell out. If they do sell out and you have to stay at a motel near the park, that's fine too. Just come. No matter what you do, just come. And I was telling you folks in the previous segment before Jared came on in the second hour, it's almost like tuning into this broadcast on any given night. There's so many members of our guest list that will be speakers, including, as Jared just mentioned, Peter Brimelow, Ramsey Paul, who's made a couple of appearances, and then, of course, Jared and Sam Dixon, who are mainstays on this show, and then yours truly, as Jared mentioned, who will be speaking again at my second conference. But in addition to that, Jared, you mentioned Philip DeWinter, and we played a song during the promo of the conference last hour from Uncuck the Right. Talk about his inclusion, this mysterious inclusion to the Amren roster this year.
Yes, Uncuck the Right is the screen name or stage name or internet name of a brilliant young guy who is part of this, I think, very exciting new generation of people who, by the time they're 25, they know more than I knew before I got to 40, for heaven's sake. They're very, very impressive people. And he, as you know, has done some extremely creative things, taking these old film clips or old songs and giving them really edgy new words. And so what he's going to do, he's going to debut one of his remakes of a popular song. And I think it's going to be a huge hit. I am actually going to be participating in it with him. I won't go any further than that, but it's going to feature mostly Uncuck the Right, but a cameo appearance by yours truly. And so I'm doing my best to be worthy of inclusion in the same piece of music as Uncuck the Right, who is a genius in his own right.
So we don't know if Jared's going to be singing classical baritone or rap or playing an instrument, which I don't know if you know, but Jared does well. Jared is actually quite the accomplished musician in some regard, certainly much more talented than myself. What is the instrument you play, Jared? Do you think that'll get any play in the song?
Well, I'm giving away no hints, but let's put it this way. We don't want to waste what few talents I have, James. So.
Oh, that is a hint. Okay, then we'll leave it at that, folks. You'll have to stay tuned for more. But in addition to the people who have already been mentioned tonight, this amazing talent, Uncuck the Right, will be there. And it just gives you the opportunity to eat, drink, and be merry and be around people who are just, look, normal is not a pejorative adjective. There is something to be said for normalcy, to be around people who have common sense beliefs on issues of the utmost importance is something indeed everyone should share. And Amren gives the opportunity to do that. So if we haven't sold you on that by now, I don't know what more we can say, but go to Amren.com, register online tonight, book your room, pay your registration fee, and you'll get to meet me and Jared and all of these other people we've been mentioning. Jared, have we left anyone out with regards to the speaking roster?
I was just thinking. So far we have covered everyone, but we still have a spot that we have yet to fill. And I was talking about that empty slot with you just the other day. And I can't mention his name, but I'm tilting towards a guy who's actually a Mexican. Now, I know this would stick in a lot of people's craws, but he is a Mexican identitarian, and he is a great fan of American Renaissance and all white activists and white advocates. And if he were to speak, it would be on the subject of how a Mexican nationalist, what a Mexican nationalist who loves Mexico but respects America would do about mass immigration into the United States from Mexico. He's got some really interesting perspectives, and I'm tilting towards having him speak. He's a really fascinating guy. Most of us have a very negative notion of Mexico because all we see are these hungry, illiterate, mostly men who come across the border. Well, they bring their women too, fortunately or unfortunately. They have their anchor babies. We have a very negative impression of them, but there are Mexicans there who understand the racialist view, who realize that they are invading and degrading our country, and they would love to do something about it in a way that helps Mexico and the United States. So I'm very seriously considering inviting him to speak. What do you think of an idea like that?
Well, I'll tell you, Jared, as we shared in our email exchange earlier this week, I think it's a fine idea. You know, unlike the Tea Parties, who we saw disgustingly try to net any minority they could to legitimize or sanction their positions, you know, we don't seek that out. But however, if there are minorities out there who agree with us, I think it's foolhardy not to reach out and to have some sort of cooperation with them. As I shared with you, just last month on the radio program, we featured Jesse Lee Peterson for a very good interview, I thought. And, you know, and he is, of course, a black gentleman who shares our concerns about the black community in very many ways and is probably more pro-white than most whites. And so we had him on, and I had no problem with that at all. I think he's a great guy, and I wish everybody in the black community thought like he did. If they did, it would be a better place. So I see no harm whatsoever. In fact, it would be silly not to reach out and work with these people on areas of mutual agreement. And so with this gentleman that you describe, I think it would be great. I don't think I don't think there's any detriment to that at all.
Yeah, I'm very seriously considering it. I've got some other alternatives in mind, but I'm really tilting towards him, and I promised him that I would make a decision in the next week or two, because he will, at this point, he can come if I invite him, but I don't want to keep him hanging on the hook for too long either. But I think it would be, he's got a really interesting perspective, and as you say, I think it's idiotic not to establish friendly, mutually respectful ties with other people who are nationalist, identitarian, who want what's good for their country, and who are willing to do it in a way that's good for our country, too.
Very well stated, Jared. Actually, better stated than I put it myself. And so when you're registering for the conference tonight, folks, at AMRN.com, you can share with Jared your opinion on this speaker, I guess. So go to AMRN.com, no matter what you do, and register tonight. We got Jared for another segment after this. We're going to shift gears, though. Now that everybody's made up their mind to attend the conference, we're going to shift gears and talk to Jared about the robocall, which he played a part in, which we talked about in the second hour, last hour, with Bill Johnson. So stay tuned for that.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Help make America great again. Proverbs 29:12 says, "If a ruler listens to falsehoods, all his officials will be wicked." Our rulers have listened to falsehoods for 50 years. The 33rd Psalm states, "Blessed is the nation whom the Lord has chosen as his heritage." God's chosen people in America is fast being replaced by other peoples because of the falsehoods our leaders have listened to for these last 50 years. Falsehoods of diversity is our strength, and multiculturalism is good. Donald Trump will stop this dispossession. Join the Trump Super PAC. Call 212-391-1586. That's 212-391-1586. Or go to thedailytrump.org. That's thedailytrump.org. Have a blessed day. Paid for by the American National Trump Super PAC.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the political cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Jared Taylor, editor of American Renaissance, AmRen.com. We've been promoting the 2016 American Renaissance Conference, which will be coming up in May. Register tonight, AmRen.com. But we want to shift gears here quickly. Jared, we had, of course, as you know, Bill Johnson on in the second hour for a lengthy interview about these robocalls, which have made such a huge national news. Tell us a little bit about how your involvement came to be in that and, of course, your reaction to the publicity that it garnered, more or less than what you expected.
Well, it was a whole lot more than what I expected, actually. Bill called me up and he asked, would I record, I think it was supposed to be about a 15-second, 20-second endorsement of Donald Trump. I just sat down and knocked it off and sent it in to him. If I had known that it was going to be repeated over and over and over in print and on CNN and on Fox News, I would have come up with something really memorable and clever. But as it turned out, no, that was huge news. I suppose I should have known. When you spoke to Bill, did he anticipate how much of a shrieking that this was going to cause?
Well, I asked him that very question. He said certainly he thought that it would make some news. It was certainly a perfect storm. It involved Donald Trump, an explicitly pro-white message in advance of the Iowa caucus, where all eyes are, and it was targeted, of course, to the Iowa voters. So it was a perfect storm there. He expected it to get publicity, but no one could have expected the publicity. In fact, I don't think he even is able to wrap his mind around exactly how much publicity that this has generated. If you do a Google search for Donald Trump robocall, you get a little bit of an idea, but I you're talking about all of the major newspapers in this country and many global. All of the national television networks, late night comedy shows, on and on and on, print, radio, television. He said between $5,000 and $9,000 on this initiative. It has received millions, if not tens of millions of dollars worth of publicity if you had to pay for it at fair market value. It has just been a phenomenon. And I asked Bill, I said, Bill, what was your intention? Was it to promote Donald Trump, to get the name of the American Freedom Party out there, or to plant the seeds of pro-white consciousness in the minds of those who would listen to the call? He said it was equally those three parts. Jared, when you agreed to sign up for that, what was your major reason for doing so?
I was afraid you'd ask. mainly I did it because Bill asked me to. I think Bill's a good guy.
Bill's that kind of guy.
Yes, that's right. He's a good guy, and I thought, well, gosh, I like Trump, and maybe if I can put a slightly more explicitly pro-white coloration to my endorsement for him, it would plant some ideas in the minds of people. I just didn't think very much about it. It makes me sound like kind of a lightheaded guy, and maybe I was. And I says, "Say,
well, you're not that."
I recorded it, but there you go. No, I didn't. I just thought, well, yeah, I like Trump. I'll say why I like Trump, and that was about the long and the short of it. And lo and behold, as you probably know, I ended up getting a pretty lengthy profile in the Washington Post. This guy calls me up and wants to jabber, and of course he made many of the usual stupid mistakes that these bonehead journalists make, but that was an extraordinary thing, too. No, this thing was just coast to coast, around the world. It was a real coup. Hats off to Johnson.
We had a very indirect role, I guess, in this. Bill told me about it back on December 17th, and even then, I thought it would probably make some news. But, I mean, nobody, you know, sometimes you think you have a hit on your hands. It's like music. You think you have a hit on your hands, nobody listens to it, and then, you know, one of your throwaway records becomes, you know, a smash number one bestseller. Bill told me about this well in advance of it actually happening, and I thought that was, you know, a unique idea. Yeah. Nobody could have seen this coming. But you, I think, Jared, were the breakaway star in this because you really – well, Bill mentioned, you know, whites in explicit terms as well. But you got a lot of press individually outside of the robocall, which got so much. And, of course, Donald Trump acknowledged it as well. I want to talk to you about two things. I want to talk about that Washington Post article. But before we do that, and I asked Bill this too, your reaction to the Donald Trump acknowledgement, I think, better than anyone really could have expected, correct?
Yes. He was, you know, for days, everybody was calling him up, calling up his campaign, saying, what do you think of these horrible people? Denounce them, denounce them. And he didn't. You know, he just maintained a dignified silence, as he's capable of doing. And then finally, when CNN's Aaron Burnett really forced him to say, well, I would disavow it. But she asked him, are you shocked by this? Will you denounce this? He says, I'm not shocked by anything in America. I thought that was a great line. He's so quick on his feet. And then he goes to say, I would disavow it. But then he goes on to explain why people are so angry. In effect, he's saying, yeah, if you want me to denounce it, I will. But I understand exactly what these guys are saying. They're furious, and they're right to be furious. So if he disavowed us, he did it, I thought, in the nicest possible way.
I agree. And we had that conversation again in the second hour, so I don't want to replow the same field twice. But I couldn't agree more, Jared, about that. I think ultimately the Trump phenomenon, I think it's almost inevitable now that he's going to be the Republican nominee. So it really, you know, this was going to be one news cycle no matter what. It wasn't going to help him or hurt him too much in any direction. I think if anything, it has probably marginally helped him. You look at the new polls out of Iowa, and he is just dominating the GOP field nationwide in terms of course, overall GOP voters. But he leads in men, he leads in women, he even leads in evangelicals, even though these phony cuck Christian leaders have denounced him. He's leading amongst evangelicals with 33% in a 10-person field. It's just phenomenal. And one recent poll shows him even now leading in Iowa. I think Cruz very well may win Iowa. As I said, Trump will win New Hampshire and then sweep the South, and he's going to win the nomination. But with regard to this reporting, specifically the Washington Post, and I read your article about this that you wrote in response to that article at amren.com, which, by the way, folks, don't forget, you can read the article and sign up for the conference tonight at amren.com. But it really is so disgusting. It really shouldn't have been newsworthy that white advocates come together and promote a candidate that they think would promote the unique interests of their groups, of their group, of our group. Anybody else does that, it doesn't make news. We do it, and it's huge news, and that is a grotesque double standard and hypocrisy, which we've covered for 11 years now. And with regards to this, as you call it, the S word, white supremacist, it's as though these journalists can't make the elementary distinction between what a white nationalist is and a white supremacist. And but of course, I don't know if it's that they can't make the distinction or that they don't want to, but certainly objective reporting has long since stopped being their modus operandi. You know, reporting the facts used to be their job, who, what, where, when, and why. Now their job is to be the enforcers of political correctness. You sat down, Jared, for the Washington Post article. Tell us your story there.
Well, as I like to put it, what do you call a black person who prefers black culture and prefers to be around other black people and socialize with black people, live with black people? What do you call such a black person? Well, you call him a black person. Well, what do you call a white person who prefers European culture and prefers to be around white people? Well, that's a white supremacist. There's just no end to this. Well, you know, I was on the phone with this guy for about 45 minutes, and the issue came up of what do I call myself? And he said, do you identify as a white supremacist? And I said, no, that's completely wrong. And I explained why. To me, a white supremacist is somebody who wants to brood over other races. And those people have gone extinct long ago. I don't know anybody who wants to do that. He says, well, what if you think that white people are superior to other people? I said, I don't even think that. I think North Asians are probably smarter on average than we are, and they have lower crime rates and lower illegitimacy rates. You could probably describe them as objectively superior. And he says, okay. Well, so he didn't call me a white supremacist. He says, I'm the editor of a white supremacist magazine. Go figure. I'm the editor. Maybe I'm not a white supremacist, but the magazine is white. So he had to smuggle that word in somehow.
Yeah, he had to.
Yeah. I suppose his editor said, you know, no. You can't get away. Can't let him get away without being a supremacist. And I said to him, calling a white person a white supremacist, that is the most heavily morally freighted way to show your contempt for a white man that you could possibly think of. If you want to say, this guy is primitive, he's full of hate, he's unhinged, don't pay attention to a word he says, then you call him a white supremacist.
And Jared, music is playing.
Yes,
we only had you booked for 30 minutes tonight. You've already stayed a full extra segment than that. But I have one piece of news, just to wrap this up, that you may not even be aware of yet. Could you stay 2 more minutes after the commercial?
Sure.
All right, one more segment, one more couple of minutes with Jared Taylor. Stay tuned, everybody.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R-word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, just a couple of fleeting minutes with Jared, who's already stayed longer than he was scheduled for, and we're thankful to him for that. But we were talking about the malicious treatment, the libelous treatment that the press always bestows upon our people, and this white supremacist slur. We were talking about what do we prefer to be called? What would we identify as? I have never referred to myself as a white nationalist. I know a lot of people do. There's nothing wrong with that. I am white and I am a nationalist. I don't like white nationalists because the media interchanges it. They use it interchangeably with white supremacists. I am the youngest old fuddy-duddy you'll probably ever meet. I'm 35 years old, but I still prefer to consider myself a conservative. If you look up the textbook definition of conservative, it's one who holds to traditional attitudes and values, and I think that's me. I know, obviously, that term has been hijacked by Bill Kristol and Charles Krauthammer and that ilk, but I think it's certainly applicable. It doesn't really play well with the younger people. Identitarian does. That's one too many syllables for me, but Jared, you've even come to embrace the term identitarian.
Yes, but I think the term that I prefer the most these days is white advocate.
Yes, there's that.
And in fact, to my surprise, I was interviewed by USA Today on this thing, and she pulls out the usual bag of tricks, white supremacist, white nationalist. I said, no, in fact, I consider myself a white advocate. And lo and behold, you could have knocked me down with a feather. The next day, the story comes out, Jared Taylor, who calls himself a white advocate, and then on she goes.
She's fired now, Jared. She's seen the door since that. Yeah, listen, we put it on our masthead, pro-white. I want to be known as a pro-white advocate, as a pro-white activist. There's nothing wrong with that. I think that should be put in there. But with regards to the other stuff, it doesn't matter. If you're pulling in the right direction, you're pulling in the right direction. But the media is despicable. It's disgusting. There's no news there. But I'll tell you, Jared, as things are changing. They're changing in Eastern Europe and Hungary and in the Czech Republic and in other places. They're changing here with the Trump phenomenon and how he's emboldening people to stand up and speak out on issues where they wouldn't have previously. A few years ago, when we started this show back in 2004, I think you could literally go you could either listen to our show or read your publication, Jared, or maybe go to the website of the Council of Conservative Citizens. And maybe there were a few others back in 2004 when we first got started. Obviously, Ameren's longer in the tooth than that. But there were a handful of organizations you could go to, and that was it. Now the movement has gotten so big. And there's so many people now on Twitter and on Facebook and on YouTube, and we talked about Uncuck the Right and what all of these people are doing. It's really grown into a movement that includes artists and thinkers, and if things are changing, and hopefully the media will soon enough change as well. Certainly we're trying to play a role in that. But the one thing I wanted to hold you over for, Jared, was this, talking about how dishonest the media is. I just found out about, and I'm not sure if you know about it yet, but you'll remember, of course, because you served as a spokesman for the council back when the shootings happened at Charleston, and the media, led by the SPLC apparently, all took it as God's holy. Well, they don't believe in that, but they just took it as the authority that the council inspired Dylann Roof.
Yeah.
Every media outlet reported that the council, they led the reader to believe, or the listener or the viewer to believe, that the council was solely responsible for Dylann Roof's actions, because the council posted factual information about black and white crime statistics, and without him once going to the council's website, that shooting would have never occurred. This just came out and was just made known to me. The Daily Beast, everybody knows the Daily Beast publication, they put out a Freedom of Information Act request, an FOIA request, to the FBI. And through that, much to their chagrin, the FBI said that it did not investigate the Council of Conservative Citizens at all. It didn't even launch an informal inquiry into their link to Dylann Roof. That is amazing to me. Because according to the SPLC and the mainstream media, the CFCC was almost solely responsible for the inspiration that Dylann Roof had when he made those horrific murders. But the FBI, The organization, say what you will about them, who would be charged to lead up this investigation, knew all along that these so-called links were bogus and that the council had nothing to do with roof actions, so much so that they never looked into the council at all, according to these FOIA reports. But yet, Jared, the media still maintains that this was a quote-unquote link. Now, that shows how evil and wicked and malicious the media is.
No, that's certainly news to me. That shows a certain amount of good common sense at the FBI. But, of course, law enforcement people, they tend to be fairly hard-headed folks. They're out there on the ground every day, even the FBI. I mean, they're not like street cops. Street cops, I think, have the hardest job in America and have some of the best understanding of who really commits the crime, what's likely to be the connection. But the FBI is not too far behind. I think they just realized that's obviously bogus. We're not even going to waste our time looking into that. And kudos for them.
Well, no, I agree. Kudos to them. And again, this was the Daily Beast research into the FBI's inquiries into the CFCC. They found out they were non-existent. This just came out a couple of days ago. But still, the media is going to continue to trot out that lie. There is the media, and there is the alternative to the media. And Jared leads up an organization who it's worth its weight in gold and then some. And, folks, I want you to come to know how great this organization is by attending the conference in May, amran.com. Jared, thank you for spending a few extra minutes with us tonight. Always an honor and a privilege.
Oh, those are the very words that I was going to say myself, James. An honor and a privilege to be on your program.
Well, we'll look forward to the next time already, and we'll certainly have you back on again before May to get out the turnout one more time at least, and we'll be updating folks with regular updates at our website as well with regards to your upcoming conference. I'm excited to be a part of it. Thank you for the invitation.
Oh, we're delighted to have you. Thanks so much, James.
Jared Taylor, everybody, amren.com. Sign up tonight. Well, last week's show, we talked for 2 hours about what's going on in Oregon. I thought it would be a crime not to at least give you a couple of minutes, very brief update from Sam Bushman, who is now with us now, capping off an extremely busy night in the political cesspool. Sam, what's happened up in Oregon between last Saturday night and this evening?
All right, there's a lot to cover, James, so I'll just drill right into it. The sheriff's dug in behind barricades, pretending like he's being attacked by the Patriots. The sheriff and others even lied about this. They said that the Patriots were following local county government officials and harassing them. Turns out the fire marshal didn't really believe that, so he dug into it. He caught some FBI agents pretending they were Patriot militia harassing county officials. He exposed it to the county. The county told him to shut up. You're not supposed to talk about that. Turns out the FBI and the county are in bed with each other to make the Patriots look bad. The FBI faking like they were the Patriots. They got caught by this fire marshal. The fire marshal resigned and joined Ammon Bundy. That's number one. Can you believe
okay,
that,
well,
stuff?
That's pretty big. I think you
it's
could say that's
huge.
Pretty big.
Right.
Now,
furthermore, they've now named themselves the Citizens for Constitutional Freedom, and they basically have... I guess the government's been putting cameras up to spy on them. They took all the cameras down and in a media press conference gave all the cameras back to the government.
Okay, that's interesting.
Now, then they also had a community meeting planned so that Ammon Bundy and the Citizens for Constitutional Freedom could explain their exit strategy. The county said you can't use any of our facilities. So Bundy just said fine and called the meeting off.
We've heard a little bit about that, about them attempting to
and the reason that's important is because the county acts like they want him to leave and acts like they want to be the peaceful guys. But Ammon said, okay, let's have a meeting and talk about it. Then they said, well, you're not going to use our places. Then Ammon said, okay, if you don't want to have a meeting, we won't. Thanks.
Well, let me ask you this, what I've been reading about. According to the establishment media, which we established just a few minutes ago, you can never trust. I have read everything between Ammon's going to hold a press conference to announce his withdrawal strategy. And then I've heard everything all the way to they're setting up citizens grand jury court tribunals where they're going to indict elected officials.
So the bottom line is there is a common law grand jury there. So far, they haven't threatened to indict anybody. They are going to start digging into things as a kind of a research council with recommendations at this point. I'm personally not for the common law grand juries. because I don't believe they have authority. That's a different discussion. The judge came in from 1,000 miles away. His name is Bruce Doucette. I know Bruce. He's a nice guy. He's very intelligent. But I don't think he's correct on this. And so far, Ammon hasn't completely gone along with what Bruce Doucette's proposal is. But if they don't try to indict people and don't try to claim they have arrest governmental powers, if you will, but they become a research team and then, you know, have their jury write up recommendations, that's fine. So there's a lot of confusion on that. There's also confusion about a standoff. On one hand, the county is all dug in like there's a big standoff. But the Patriots have created what's called the Patriot Snow Brigade. And they're in and around Burns, Oregon, where all the militia and everybody else are. They're basically helping people clean the snow off their driveways and such. So while the
folks,
sheriff's dug in, the snow brigade's out.
Not nearly enough time with Sam Bushman tonight, but I wanted to bring him on just to refresh your memory about the big story we had last week. If you're interested in this story at all, as I know so many of our listeners are, Sam's covering it with authority Monday through Friday, LibertyRoundtable.com. LibertyRoundtable.com. Sam has the inside information for you on this story every day. Thank you, Sam. Thanks to all of our guests tonight. I'm James Edwards. God bless you. I got to take a break. I'll see you next week. I'm going to go pass out now. Busy show. Love you guys. Good night.